1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Today I want you to notice the phrase in verse 1, born of God. We see that this phrase says that someone who is trusting in Jesus, the person of Jesus, as their Savior, becomes a child of God, is born of God. Saving faith in Jesus Christ establishes a relationship with us and God that is as intimate as a child with a parent. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born again. You must be born of God. You must establish a relationship with him that is personal and intimate." Now, true faith in Jesus Christ is not just an intellectual decision. It is something that involves far more than us accepting the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It has to do with more than just our mind. It is an act of the heart to commit to following Jesus because of the great love he has showed to us when he died on the cross for our sins. This is what true faith involves. It is a matter of the mind. Yes, we must accept the facts about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection as true, but we must commit with our hearts a trust in him and a commitment to follow his ways in order to be truly born of God. This is the kind of faith that we should have in the Lord. And what John is trying to do in this passage of Scripture is describe what it really means to have true faith in Jesus Christ. What it means to really be born of God. Not just have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ, but really know him as our Savior. This passage is a description of what faith in Jesus Christ looks like in the life of someone who is born of God. So let's take a look at this passage and see what faith in Jesus does in our lives. Now let's read verse 1 and 2 again. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Now, the first thing I want you to understand about genuine faith in Jesus is faith in Jesus produces love in our hearts for God and others. Now, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school, but when you experience the love Jesus gives, when he forgives you of your sins, when he gives you peace in your heart, when you experience a life free from the guilt of sin, it produces feelings of love in your heart for him. In chapter 4 in verse 19 it says, "We love him because he first loved us." When we experience this love, this forgiving love, this love that brings peace, this love that brings joy, when we experience the joy of his promise of eternal life and all the other promises that come with having a relationship with Jesus Christ, we realize that our love for him grows. Our love for him grows. When I think about the things that Jesus has done for me, when I think about the love He has shown to me, I say, Lord, I love You. I love You for what You've done. That's the way it should be in our lives. That's the way it should be in every believer's life, where he realizes the love that God has given to them, and he accepts that love with bringing love back to God, with giving love to the Lord, with saying, Lord, I love You, and I want to serve You. Not only that, but it will also produce feelings of love for others, especially those who are God's children. Now, Paul and Silas were thrown in jail in Philippi. You remember the Philippian jailer. The jailer that had beaten them became a Christian. Remember that? The Philippian jailer that had beaten him, the same guy that beat him, threw him in the cell, was the same guy that accepted Christ as his Savior. After God brought the earthquake and they were about to leave and they didn't leave, and then the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and all your house. And so he accepted Christ as his Savior, and the same guy that beat Paul and Silas took him to his house, cleaned them up, fed them, gave them a place to sleep, right? His whole attitude towards Paul and Silas had changed because he had been born of God. He went from despising them to the point where he could beat them to being able to love them and care for them. That's what we're talking about here. If you have true faith in Jesus Christ, you are going to have love for other believers. And you are going to have love for the Lord. Now, understand something. This is very important. It is extremely important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, and we learned this in Sunday school, that verse says this. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Because I want you to see it too, not just hear it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is very important and has been on my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The whole chapter is talking about love. But here's the point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make in chapter 13. It's in verse 13. It says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Now, from this passage, we can see that the greatest result of our walk with Jesus Christ is love. The thing that should be the thing that should be greatest in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, should be our love for Jesus and our love for others. Love must be present in our lives. Now, we learned today in Sunday school about the church at Ephesus. In the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus had done great works. They had a wonderful history. They had solid doctrine. They did everything that the Bible said to do. And they made sure that anyone that taught anything that was false, they rejected it. But there was one thing that had been missing in their church for a while, and that was love. They had left their first love. They were just going through the motions. Things had become mechanical in their service to the Lord. God wants us to have love in our walk with Him. Love should be most prevalent in our lives. Love for the Lord and love for others. There's this connection there that we must see. And it must be part of our lives as Christians. And it should be a part of our lives in this church. One thing we don't want to see at Beacon is our church get stale and cold because of lack of love. There shouldn't be people in our church that never experience someone showing them some kindness out of love. Someone showing them that they genuinely care for them out of love for Christ in them. It should be like that. There shouldn't be a time where people come into our congregation and no one says hi to them. No one acts like they even care that they're there. Okay? We should have a congregation where when somebody comes in, they are greeted with the love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about here. And as Christians, if we are walking with the Lord and trusting in Him, one of the things that's going to be a characteristic of our lives is we are going to have love for the Lord that shows with our love for others as well. That's what we need to see. God wants us to have this character trait in our lives, this love. He wants it to be prevalent in our lives. And He shows us in 1 John that that is the mark of someone who has truly been born of God. I guess you could call it a birthmark, right? A birthmark for Jesus, a birthmark that you know that you are born of God, is that you have love for Him and love for others. So have you experienced that love from Jesus Christ? That love that says, wow, Jesus loved me so much that He died on the cross for my sins, that He rose again and offered me eternal life. And He forgives me of my sins. When I trust Him as my Savior and commit myself to Him, He forgives me of my sins and I don't have any guilt in my heart anymore. And I have peace in my soul. And not only that, I experienced His promises, an assurance that I have eternal life. What great love He has shown to me. I hope that's your testimony. We're going to have some folks give testimony this morning to that fact. That's exactly what has happened in their lives. That's what God wants to happen in your life. If you haven't experienced that love, then please come to one of us. Ask us and say, hey, I want to experience the love of Jesus Christ. And we will show you how you can know Jesus Christ. You'll have an opportunity in this service to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you want that love, that peace that comes from knowing Him, please respond to Him today. Now, look at verse 3 in chapter 5. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, faith in Jesus brings a desire and strength to do His will. This verse repeats what Jesus Himself said in John 15:10. Look at John 15:10, back in the Gospel of John. John 15:10 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see the connection between love and keeping His commandments? Love for God produces a desire to obey His will for our lives. A young lady got a typing job, typing up manuscripts for an author. She fell in love with the author, and they got married. What had previously become had been a job for her to do became her delight to do after she had this loving relationship with the author. She desired and enjoyed typing up his manuscripts, and it no longer was work for her, but a joy for her. What was the difference? Her love for the author. You see, when we have love for Jesus, doing what He desires for our lives is not a burden. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to do what He wants us to do. Is it easy? No. Does it bring joy? Yes. That's what we need to see. We need to see that, hey, although it may not be easy, it is not grievous. It is not grievous. Here we see the word burden, but it can also be translated grievous. And I like that because it gives the idea that we aren't grief-stricken when we do the will of the Lord. We're actually joyful. It doesn't feel like it's a burden. Remember, Jesus said, "My burden is light. Take my yoke upon you." Right? My burden is light. We need to understand that. Jesus said in Matthew 23 that the Pharisees had created a bunch of rules that were burdensome to the people. Now, there are many religions that are a burden to people. You look at some of the religions out there, and you will see that they put all these rules and regulations on people to the point that it is a very big burden. But I want you to understand something. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity, contrary to popular opinion, is not just a bunch of rules and regulations set out to make your life miserable. It is not like that at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus simplified the commandments of the Lord. And you'll notice that love has to do with both of them. First of all, he said, there's two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two commandments. He made it easy for us. Now, if you take those two principles and apply those two principal commandments to your life, you will be able to obey God. You will be able to obey God. And what does it have to do with? It has to do with our love for Him. It really has to do with our love for Him. And when we have love for Him and we put our faith in Him, He gives us a desire and a strength to follow Him. Now, when you realize that God's commandments came from His love for you, they will be joyful to keep instead of grievous. Now, when I, for instance, keep the commandment, "Thou shalt not call the name of the Lord thy God in vain," okay? So I don't, because I love the Lord, and He says He doesn't want me to call His name in vain, I don't call His name in vain. And you know what? It brings peace in my heart that I'm not using His name in vain. That's not a burden for me, not to use His name in vain. Is that a burden? Of course not. I love Him. I don't want His name tarnished in any way, shape, or form because of my great love for Him. I only want His name exalted, so it's a joy for me. Now, let me tell you, if I was to take His name in vain, that would bring grief to me. That would bring grief to me. Obeying Him is not what's a burden for me. Disobeying Him is what is a burden for me. That's what we need to see as Christians. The burden isn't in obeying the Lord. The burden is in disobeying Him. Because that's when it hurts us. It hurts our heart. It hurts our lives. It brings us down. For believers, not obeying Jesus is what brings grief. Not obeying His commands. Not loving others as you should. People that love others as they should, I find are genuinely much happier than people that treat people rotten. Have you ever noticed that? People that are miserable are generally the people that treat others badly. People that love others are generally happier people. Why is that? Because God's commands will bring joy and not grief. Now, Jesus' commands are simple, and we talked about that. At times they may not be easy, but remember, God will help you follow His commandments by His Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want to read a passage from John chapter 14 to you. It says in verse 15, and this is Jesus once again speaking. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Kind of the same language we've been seeing in 1 John, right? But here's the promise that comes directly from Jesus if we will love him and keep his commandments. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans." Why? Because you're born of God. "I will come to you." You see? See the connection between our love for the Lord and keeping his commandments? Here's what happens when we do that. His Holy Spirit that is indwelling us helps us, gives us the strength and motivation to live for him. That's what we have in the Holy Spirit. We have in the Holy Spirit someone that will guide and direct our lives, will motivate us to keep the commandments, to see the joy in keeping his commandments. So true faith in the Lord is going to do that for you. You may be hesitant about accepting Jesus as your Savior because you think, well, this particular thing in my life, I really can't get over doing, so I don't know that I can have a relationship with the Lord. Or you may even say, this particular thing in my life is something that I really want to do, so I don't see how I'm going to want to give that up to serve the Lord. Let me tell you, if you will commit your life to Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit will come in and He will change your desires. Your desires will change. If that's something that God wants out of your life, you will joyfully get rid of it after you have trusted in Him as your Savior. If you'll just commit yourself to Him, He'll make your life joyful, whether you have what you had before or you don't. Or you have to change your lifestyle in some way, God will give you joy in whatever He calls you to do. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I had a lot of lifestyle changes to make. But you know what? I don't regret one thing that I had to change. Because, first of all, it was for my good, because God was telling me to do it out of His love, and it was for His glory, and I love Him because He first loved me, and I want to bring glory to His name. That's what it's all about. So faith in Jesus will create a desire in you to follow His will. And finally, back in 1 John chapter 5, faith in Jesus provides victory over the corruption of this world. Look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" You see, the use of this word overcome implies there is a battle that rages against those who are trusting in Jesus and this world. Now, the word world means sinful, evil, corruption in the world. We're not just talking about the actual world. We're talking about the sin that corrupts this world, the evil that is in this world. We as believers in Jesus Christ overcome the corruption and sin of this world. We overcome it because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because we have committed by faith our lives to Him and trust in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins and our eternal life. And because of that, we have victory over this world, over its evil ways, over its sinfulness, and over all the things that drag people down. That's what we have. We have victory because of our faith in Him. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we have overcome the death and corruption of this world. When you love the Lord and keep His commandments, you will also experience a victory over the bondage of sin. So many people today are bound by sin. Their lies have bound them into a box and they can't get out. Their habits have constricted their lives to the point where all they can do is be consumed by those habits, whatever it may be. They're consumed by them. They're in a box, confined by those things. And they are slowly but surely being destroyed by them. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're free from that. You can overcome the sin of this world. You can overcome its bondage. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world when they fell into the temptation of the devil and disobeyed God. And that's why we have evil and death and corruption in our world today. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we have overcome this death and corruption of this world. Victory is ours. Victory is ours because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, quickly, do you want a life full of love for God and others? Do you? Do you want a life of love for God and others? Do you want a life that brings joy from fulfilling the will of your Creator? Do you want a life free from the corruption and bondage of this sinful world? You can have that by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Not only accepting with your mind the fact that Jesus Christ really did come and die on the cross and rise again to save you from your sin, but accepting Him with your heart, committing your whole heart, soul, and mind to Him so that you can have a relationship with Him and allow His love to come into your heart and dictate your life. That is the kind of faith that God wants you to have in Him. And that kind of faith will fill you with His love, a love that will show towards others. That kind of faith will bring joy to your heart as you fulfill His will for your life. And that kind of faith will give you victory over this world and the corruption in it. Do you want that? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.